It's true, pro football is still saddled with race-related conflicts, but think back how it used to be. At one point, a black quarterback was unheard of. Though still few, they are no longer a novelty. But NPR's Roy Hurst continues to be amazed, I should say, by the sight of a black man leading a team on the field.
I can't help it. I always feel a lot of pride when I see a black quarterback. Call it an attraction to rare events. Things may be getting better in the new millennium, but you'd still be hard-pressed to find a black quarterback in the National Football League. So if you get a chance to see four of them at once, consider it a treat. Yesterday, here in my hometown of Detroit, as part of the festivities of Super Bowl 40, I ran across a group of black quarterbacks holding a press conference. I jumped at the opportunity to bask in the glow of greatness. I call them great not just because they were exceptional talents, but because they were first. There was Marlon Briscoe, the first black quarterback to start in an NFL game. James Harris, the first to start in a playoff game. And Doug Williams was there. He was the first black quarterback to be named MVP. He was also the only African-American to win a Super Bowl. And then there was Warren Moon. Just this year, he became the first black quarterback to be considered for the Hall of Fame. They are all founding members of an exclusive black football club, an organization dedicated to instructing kids in the art of quarterbacking. As a group, they call themselves the Field Generals. As a football fan, I call them superheroes. But that's just it. Why was I so giddy to be there? After all, football is just a game, one that I wasn't very good at. And what does a game have to do with the progress of African Americans?
It's huge because, the quarterback position in professional football is parallel to the President of the United States running this country.
Marlon Briscoe was in the vanguard. He was quarterbacking back in 1968.
White America didn't want a black quarterback on the field because it represented the power that they've had, not only on the football field, but in large corporations and in our government. And so it meant more than just running up and down the football field. It was a symbol of leadership that was denied us in so many areas.
I think it's the most challenging position in all of team sports.
By the time Warren Moon came into the NFL in the early 1980s, a few other black quarterbacks had come and gone. But he was among the first of highly paid professional football players.
Oh, I understood there was a huge responsibility for me, especially when I came into the league and I was the only one at the time, that a lot of eyes were going to be on me because of the money that I was being paid, the exposure that I was getting. I was in the South, and there was a lot of people out there probably looking for me to succeed, but there was probably a lot of people out there looking for me to fail also.
But in most cases, more fans were won over than were lost. Marlon Briscoe.
They thought that there would be a huge fan backlash and that the white players on the team, because they were predominantly white back in those days, would not play for a black quarterback. Well, after my first game, there was like 15,000 more people at the game the next time.
Listening to them, I began to understand why I felt so proud to be near them. They were among the first to show a racially polarized country that when given the opportunity, a black man can be a thinking leader of all men, and that makes the black quarterback not just a guy throwing a ball up the field, but a bona fide contributor to American progress. And I suppose that's the kind of person I call a hero. Roy Hurst, NPR News.